Good morning. Welcome to Dallasburg Baptist Church. We welcome those joining us in person and those joining us at home. We are very happy to have you here this morning. Very exciting morning with us here at Dallasburg. If for no other reason, you get to hear someone besides me bring a message. We have Brother Don Coleman here with us. So if for no other reason, you picked the right Sunday to come to Dallasburg Baptist Church, right? So lots of announcements this morning, right? I've had multiple people grab me this morning and wanted me to say things, and every one of them deserves some time. And so we're going to give some time this morning to our announcements, probably a little bit more than we usually do. All right, first off, we're going to start off with the Dallasburg Youth and Prayer Partners. And so we have a picture here on the screen. Out here in the bulletin, we have the listing of the names of those individuals from our church that are attending youth camp. And so what we would like you to do is to pick a name to specifically pray for. That's the most important thing you can do for those individuals while they're there, for their hearts to be open to the gospel, for them to have a good time and for them to enjoy that. But also you can make them treats, you can do things for them, but please pick a name off that bulletin board. You see the bulletin board, it's out there, grab a name off of it, that would be great. Let's see here. Here's the other part of this, right? You see in your bulletin when VBS is going to be. Courtney's handing out material this morning. I got my material this morning. These are the three spots that are remaining that need to be filled out, right? And so it would be great if you prayed about this or maybe even signed up for today. The first one is Imagination Station needs a teacher and a helper. I've done that before. That's a pretty cool station to work at. You get to do little experiments with kids. Kids enjoy it. You will have a great time doing that, and a helper is needed there. Helper for preschool and kindergarten crew. I probably can't sell that as fun as Imagination Station, but still really a good group to be with, right? So we need a worker and a helper for that as well. And then we also need a helper for KidVid. That's a really, you watch a DVD and you watch a video. That's a really straightforward station to serve in as well. And those stations still need someone to sign up for them. You've heard me say this multiple times, and I was super encouraged. I had a chance to talk with Ben on Friday night as he and Mandy are serving today for Children's Church, is that we want more guys signing up for these things. The guys can do this too. This isn't something that we just assign to the lovely ladies in our church. Guys, if you feel led to, please sign up. These are your opportunities. They're really fun. They're really fun. And we'll even feed you a snack, too. So you've got that going for you. Also, as we continue to work towards, and we've been praying about, the Gospel to Every Home initiative, Cindy shared with me this morning, there is a big yellow, she picked yellow so it will stand out for you. There's a yellow sign-up sheet out there in the Hallelujah Hallway. Is that where it's at? Okay, it's in the Hallelujah Hallway for you to sign up to get on so we know how many people are going to go out and serve on the Gospel to Every Home, right? And so we're getting close. It's getting time. Continue to pray for that. Brother Don had shared with me this morning, he brought us 400 bags, so we're starting off with 400, so we are going to at least reach 400 homes, hopefully more, as we share the gospel and encourage people to gather with us at church, right? So it's a great opportunity. Another thing on there that I wanted to mention is that our committee has been working very hard, and we will be honoring our graduates the 27th. So mark your calendar for the 27th of June. We're going to do that immediately following our morning service, so that should be fun. There's a lot of other information there. The rest of that, I'm very confident that you can read and you can write on. You can date your calendars as you feel fit. Those are the things that I wanted to mention this morning. I know it's a lot of information. We've got that. And so now what we're going to do is we're now going to gather with one another. We're going to lift up songs of praise. We're going to allow the music to prepare our hearts to receive a gospel message as we become more sanctified as we work through today's message, right? And so what we're going to do is I will pray for us, and then Lucy will come and lead us in music. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the Sunday school hour that we had this morning. I thank you for that message of encouraging us to seek out opportunities to share the gospel in our everyday conversations, Lord. I pray that that message was well received, and that individuals, as they enter into the mission field, as we leave this parking lot, we hit the mission field and we look for those opportunities to speak truth into people's lives. We do it with love and grace. And we just continue to seek those out. Lord, as we gather now for corporate worship, Lord, I pray that we're able to set aside the distractions of the day, of the week, and to truly focus on you, to be producers of worship, and just to understand and to feel your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. As I was looking at the hymnal this past week and trying to pick out some songs that my alto voice will sing, I came upon this first song, and I thought back about this past 14 months and what all we've been through with not being able to be in his house. And I don't know about you all, but it just gives my heart great joy to be able to come into this sanctuary with all of you all and sing praises and hear the word of God spoken from this pulpit and the prayers that are offered. It just makes my heart full of joy. And I hope it does you all too as well. But let's stand up and let's sing this first song here. you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Psalm 56:13. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for allowing us to come into your house today and be with our brothers and sisters and worship you, Lord. We thank you for all the many, many blessings that you so freely give us. Lord, help us to be better servants of yours. Help us to serve others better. Help us to be a light in this world for you, Lord. And Lord, just pray for Brother Coleman as he prepares to bring our message today. Lord, I pray that our ears and our hearts and our minds will be open to the words that he will speak to us, Lord, your words. Thank you for giving us this day, and thank you for your love. And it's Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Places.
thank you.
Psalms 57:1. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storm of destruction pass by.
Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now, Lord. Thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come together again this week. Lord, we thank you, God, for all of your grace and all of your love and all of your mercy. Father, we thank you that we can take refuge in you when the storms of life do come along. Father, I just pray that that would always be on the forefront of our mind when these storms do come, Lord. No, we've got two options. We can run away from you or run straight to you. And Father, I pray that that we would always choose to run to you and take refuge in you. Father, I pray over this offering now that we're about to receive, Lord, I just pray that you would give us wisdom and guidance in how we use that and how we use it to help advance your kingdom. Father, we lift up Brother Don to you as he prepares to come this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to each of us as we need to hear from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right, our kids will be dismissed to children's church. Something that I wanted everyone to recognize this morning is how blessed we are. Molly, you better walk. As blessed we are to have this many kids, this many babies with us. And so what that is for us is that is an opportunity for us to be a partner with their parents, to help raise these kids, to help speak truth in their lives through leading children's church, through Sunday school classes, and really just helping them to grow into the Christian, into the wonderful ambassador of Christ that God wants them to be. And so we do, at times, we have to make concessions. Sometimes they're a little loud. Sometimes there's a little raucous. But man, realize a church that doesn't have those voices is a church that's got real problems. right? So always see them as a blessing in your church. They are a massive, massive blessing. It puts you huge, especially when they're twins. Twins are even better. And when we see these young children, right? Twins are always so cool. We thank you again for gathering with us this morning. What I'm going to now is I'm going to introduce, which he doesn't really need any introduction. This is Brother Don Coleman. He is your AMS, which I have to look up every time, Associational Mission Strategist. You probably remember it as DOM, but man, it completely messes with my head. Don has brought me lunch twice, and so he's on my good side. So I'm okay with that. But he's doing an amazing job. He's working super hard. He is the primary point person on this Gospel to Every Home initiative. I've been to multiple meetings with him. He's doing a great job. Continue to pray for him. Brother Don, if you'll come and bring his message, we look forward to hearing that.
Thank you, Michael, and I think I've always complimented you on your beard as well. So I deserve your admiration. No, I'm just kidding. And it's good to be back here at Dallasburg. Seem like imbalanced here. I think the last time I preached from this pulpit, nobody was here except for Annie and a few other ladies here. And it is good to have you, Annie, with us. So lifelike, I just cannot get over. I can't tell you how many different people I've told about your great ladies you have here at your church. Well, again, good to be here and good to have the opportunity to preach and to speak really about at some point or a couple of points along the way to speak about Gospel to Every Home, a tremendous initiative that really was started by our Kentucky Baptist Convention, but then kind of passed off to all of our associations. So this is, if there is any difference in this initiative as opposed to all those that have come before it, you know, by different names, but still the objective is the same. If there's a difference, it is that the KBC has encouraged our associational missionaries, our director of missions. If you still like DOM, if that's easy for you, then call me DOM. That's fine. But I wonder how many even know what DOM stands for, Director of Missions. But anyway, they've kind of passed it off to the AMSs to kind of be the catalyst, to lead the churches in their association to be involved in the Gospel to Every Home initiative. And my approach has been to try to get our churches to come together and help one another with it. You know, I'm looking out at this congregation, and not only that, but I know a little bit about Dallasburg, and you're a good church, good strong church, and you have resources here that many of our churches in Owen County Baptist Association and 10 Mile Baptist Association do not have. For one thing, you have kids that a lot of our churches, sadly, do not have any of. I mean, none of. Now, that's difficult to believe, but we have some churches that are very small. They don't have any children, don't have any youth. But not only that, but they have few people in them that are able to do something like this to get the gospel to every home. So my approach has been to encourage our churches to lock arms with one another, help one another. Most of our churches are going to initially start by getting the gospel to every home. I've got one of the bags here, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. To get those gospel bags, the gospel resources out to every home, every church is going to kind of start by doing those streets and roads, those homes that are in proximity to their churches. And then at some point along the way, we're going to get together and decide to do some mission projects to get this done in some areas where our churches are very small, in some areas where we don't have any churches, really. There are a lot of homes. So get ready for not only initially doing what you're responsible for, that is the people who live within the shadow of this church building, but then get ready to be a part of a mission project that'll take you in other parts of Owen County, maybe even up into Grant and Gallatin County. And so just be ready for that. So I'm glad to be able to talk a little bit about that, but I'm not just going to be talking about gospel to every home. This is not going to be one big advertisement here this morning. And so with that, I want us to turn to the Bible, and if you would, find chapter 5 in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to spend some time there in Acts chapter 5, and move into at least the first verse of chapter 6 of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is an amazing book, isn't it? I don't know how many of you have read through the book of Acts. Some of you probably have multiple times through your journey as a believer. I'm sure you have heard a number of sermons brought from the book of Acts. Michael may have preached some out of Acts. I don't have any idea, but we're somewhat familiar. I feel confident, somewhat familiar with the book of Acts, what it involves. And really the extended title would be the Acts of the Apostles. So you have in your New Testament the Gospels that focus on the life and ministry, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after the resurrection and his ascension, which is included, the ascension is included here in the opening pages of the book of Acts, you then have the birth of the church and the growth of the church, the work and ministry of the Apostle Paul taking the gospel to the Gentiles, and then the book of Acts just ends kind of open-ended. It's open-ended. It ends actually with the word. If we were to translate it literally into our English, it ends with the word unhinderedly. That means it's going on. There's no period, no final chapter to the Acts of the Apostles. Now, we've moved beyond the Apostles, but from the birth of the church, we're now continuing that work and will continue it until Jesus comes. And I believe he is coming. I know he is. I am always tempted to say, and do say sometimes, and I'm sure you've heard this many times, I believe he's coming soon. But I guarantee you that the Apostle Paul believed he was coming soon. And the churches that we read about here in the book of Acts, they believed and preached, and their hope was in the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been soon since Jesus left the first time. And that just basically means that there is nothing that has to happen before he comes. He could come at any moment. And that means today. He could come at any moment. And we're to continue to do the work of the gospel, that is, spreading the gospel to every people, every tongue, every tribe, every nation, until Jesus makes his appearance and draws all that to a close. So the book of Acts is exciting. And you begin to read in the opening pages of the book. Not only do we start with Jesus and his conversation with the apostles, and then his ascension up into heaven, and the angels saying to them, you know, why are you looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who has left, in like manner he will return. And then we have Pentecost taking place, and the great sermon the Apostle Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost, and then the incredible results, or I would put it this way, the great harvest of souls that took place there on the day of Pentecost. In fact, I would have you just look at that a minute, just to look at a few verses as we lead up to the text that I'm going to be preaching from this morning. You start basically there in chapter 1 with this number placed upon the size of the church. In chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers." The company of persons was in all about how many? 120. 120. And then he preached a great sermon. So we start with 120 people. Jesus, of course, chose 12, and by the time of his death, the church, though not officially birthed as the church yet because the Holy Spirit had not come, numbered 120 people. And then you go a little bit further on over to chapter 2 and the closing, about the middle of the chapter there in verse 41. So those who received the word were baptized, and they were added that day. Now get this, that's that day, in one single day, about how many? You do have a Bible in front of you, don't you? 3,000 souls. And you know, really, that's a rounded number, right? Or maybe we might even say that it was an estimation. It may have been many, many more than that. But 3,000 souls in one day. You talk about an excited church. Can you imagine that happening here? Well, it'd be difficult for us to imagine that. 3,000 that day added to the church. Saved, baptized, starting to be discipled by the apostles. 3,000, and by the time you get to the end of the chapter, chapter 2, it says just that the Lord added to their number day by day. And when you look deep into the grammar of the Greek here, it's day by day by day by every day. Every day, those who were being saved. So it doesn't even put a number on it, does it? So the church was increasing in number day by day by day. And then if you'll skip on over to chapter 4 and verse 4, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he was the historian who wrote this. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about how many? 5,000. Now, that's not 5,000 more. It's now the church has grown to 5,000, and they only counted the men. I'm sorry, ladies. Doesn't mean that the men were the only ones saved. No, there were men and women. In fact, we're going to read here in just a little bit about how that men and women, both men and women, were being saved. So if the number now is 5,000 men, then we may be talking about a church that has grown to 10,000 and upwards from there in a relatively short space of time. I mean, the explosion of the church, and it begs the question, can that happen again? I don't know. I guess I would have to say, trusting God, if God wanted it to happen again, it would. But this is exciting, and this is amazing. I mean, from 120 souls to 3,000 to now probably upwards to 10 to 12,000 saved. And really, when you look at the book of Acts, that's the last time you get any kind of round numbers. From there on, it's just referred to in terms of multitudes. Multitudes. In fact, you can turn another page or two, depending on your copy of God's Word, but in chapter 5, and verse 14. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. More than ever. Now, it was already pretty astounding before that. 3,000, then up to 5, 10, who knows how many. You know, just to think about it, day by day, every single day, people being added to the church, that's pretty amazing. And now it says even more than ever, people were being added to the, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes, multitudes of both men and women. What an exciting time. Now, what explains all that? I mean, is this just simply a solo work of God, work of the Holy Spirit? Well, certainly, this is all God doing this, without a doubt. Salvation is of the Lord. But God added to his church through the gospel efforts of his people. Now, you know, obviously, I think if you think about it, you'll know this is true. They didn't have some big mega church there, church building where they could house 15,000 people. That just didn't happen in this day. Not only could that not happen in terms of logistics and such and buildings and so forth, but it would not have been allowed to happen by the Roman government or the Jewish leadership of the day. So these people were meeting in pockets, in homes, in other places, wherever they could meet. And so spread out all over at this point, just in one city, Jerusalem. Thousands upon thousands of believers on the Lord's day coming together like this group of believers to worship. But every day they were doing what? They were telling others about the hope that they had, about Jesus Christ. What explains this explosion of growth? And therefore, what might allow this to happen again? Well, it's the gospel to every home. Now, I'm not talking here about the initiative or the program or whatever term you want to use. But it's the gospel to every home. And so that's what I want to show you in the passage I'm going to read here. I'll show you that and a number of things. So I'm going to start reading in verse 17 of chapter 5. And so if you've found your place there, we're going to read through to the end of this chapter. But the high priest rose up. And by the way, the word "but" is, you know, in what follows is in stark contrast with what has happened before. We got all these people coming to the Lord and there's great excitement in the church, but there's a certain group against it. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, love to talk about that, but we'll move on. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." Translation, the gospel. Preach the gospel. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. So they didn't even know they had been delivered out of the prison, did they? But when the officers came, they did not find them in prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the door." So it begs the question, how in the world did they get out? Well, this is a miracle. In fact, God delivered them. I'm not sure how. It doesn't elaborate, but he delivered them in such a way that the guards didn't see it. The doors didn't even need to be unlocked. No one was inside. Now, when the captain of the temple and the priests, chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed, certainly, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us, that man, of course, being Jesus. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. As he's put them out here so they can't overhear what we're going to say. And he said to them, men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. This man, a prophet, wasn't he? So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Now there it is. That's a gospel to every home. I've had a number of people say to me, some in a lighthearted way and some I suspect a little bit more seriously, have said, well, this gospel to every home initiative, that's not new. We've done that before. I mean, it's just the same old thing. We just keep doing the same thing. And I don't say it, though maybe I should. I'm not quite that bold. I say, well, yeah, it is the same thing. We've been doing it ever since the church was birthed. And we'll keep on doing it until Jesus comes. I want to point out just a few things real quickly, and I won't say a lot about these, about five things I want you to notice from the text that I just read. A couple of them from the first verse of chapter 6, which we'll get to here in just a minute. First thing I want you to notice here in this passage, notice the struggles the church met. The struggles. There were struggles. In fact, if we could go back to the beginning of the book of Acts, I mean, over and over, the apostles and the early believers met with great struggles, persecution. The struggles they met. Isn't that what we have here in verse 17? The high priest, the leadership of the Jews, jealous of the great crowds that the apostles are attracting, and jealous of the great growth of Christianity. They're jealous. And what do? They arrest the apostles and put them in the public prison. Now, they're still doing that today. Now, not in this country, at least not yet. But certainly, they're doing this all around the world in many countries. I have been to China a number of times, and some of the pastors that I have worked with are right now under a renewed, intensified persecution against the church, true church. Many pastors in China are being put in jail because they will not stop preaching the gospel. And we can move from there to countries that are dominated by Islam, and persecution of the Christian church is very intense. I will never forget the testimony of a missionary a bunch of years ago. He was doing his mission work. He and his wife were doing mission work in Yemen, dominated by Islam. And they would lead people to Christ, and someone asked him, he said, what happens after they are become Christians and they're baptized? And he said, well, sadly, we usually say goodbye, because either that new believer is going to be in prison very soon or be put to death, sometimes by the hands of their own families. There's persecution all around the world, isn't it? The struggles that believers meet today, we really have a hard time imagining. Some of you may have done some reading on it. When I pastored in Oklahoma, Voice of the Martyrs, their North American headquarters was there in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and so I got to know, and had several in our church who traveled to other countries and support the persecuted church. So I'm well aware of what happens around the world, and some of you may be and some of you may not, but we can't even imagine, most of us, what it's like to be a practicing, devoted, witnessing believer in some parts of this world, a lot of parts of this world. That hadn't happened here yet. It will one day, if Jesus doesn't come first. If we have eyes that are open to see it, we're already seeing some of it. Persecution against the church. There is a growing number of people in our country today, and some of them in places of authority and leadership in our nation, who see the church as the major threat to our country. The struggles they met. Well, we meet other kind of struggles, don't we? Some of it is internal. Whenever a church really desires to get on mission with the gospel, get on mission with the Lord, there's going to be some opposition. Some of it will just be kind of a quiet, non-committal kind of spirit. Some will oppose in other ways. Anytime we desire to live for Christ and as a church collectively get involved with the Great Commission, we're going to meet struggles. We're going to meet with struggles. Second thing I want you to notice here comes on a little further in verse 29. And not only the struggles they met, but the statement of faith they made. What did Peter say? Verse 29. He said, we must obey God rather than men. So no matter what struggles may come as a result of our desire to live out the Word of God and to live out the command of Christ to evangelize the world, no matter what the struggles may come, we must obey God rather than man. What a bold statement for Peter to say. And he has said this more than once, something similar. Whether it seems right to you, whether we should obey God or man, let me tell you this. I'm going to obey God. In fact, at one point Peter said, I cannot help but teach, preach, speak what I have heard and have received. So the struggles they met, the statement of faith they made. Please, I beseech every one of you to have this mindset of the Apostle Peter. We will obey God rather than man. Thirdly, the strategy they modeled. And this gets us to that passage in verse 42 that I've already emphasized. But every day, how many days? Every day in the temple, we could equate that today in the church, and from house to house. Some versions, King James, if you have that, says in every house. Whichever way you translate it still says the same. Every house, house to house to house to house. So in the temple, that is in the church, and from house to house to house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Now, folks, again, that's gospel to every home. So what, you know what, we're asking every church and every member of the church to be involved in is not new. And if you're looking for something new, there's just anything new, not anything that's going to be blessed by God. Going door to door is the only way that we're going to get this done, and it is a proven method proved here by the apostles and the early church. And what we're asking all of our people to do and our churches do is simply take a bag like this filled with gospel resources, and I'm going to explain some of those here in a minute, and go to a door by door, knock on that door, wait for somebody to answer, and if somebody does answer, strike up a conversation with them. To have kind of a casual introduction. I'm Don Coleman. This is my wife, Sherry. And we're from Dallasburg Baptist Church. You know that church right down there in Wheatley. And we're just going around to all the homes to give you some information about Jesus and about the gospel. And then you might just ask a question like this, are you affiliated with any church here? Do you go to a church here? And if the answer is no, then you might ask, do you have any spiritual beliefs? What, do you ever think about spiritual things? And then you just simply ask, do you mind if I share with you what I believe? What we believe down there at Dallasburg Baptist Church. And hopefully that will give you an opening to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're giving them a bag with gospel resources, seeking to start with a casual conversation that could lead into a gospel conversation, and hopefully in praying that God would produce the results, the spiritual results, and draw that person unto himself for salvation. Inside that bag, we have information about the churches in the area. And no doubt your church will also put something in the bag that is more specific about your church and ministries of your church. In there is a gospel tract that person can read, or you can use it if you want to as an approach to sharing the gospel. In fact, there are two gospel tracts in there. There will be this card that was produced by the KBC that has some information about what we're doing, what this is all about, and on the back of it, it has G-O-S-P-E-L, which spells gospel, and it's used as an acrostic with some scriptures right beside it that a person can use to share the gospel. It's basically the Roman road. Some of you have done some training in evangelism. You no doubt have run across the Roman road. Very simple method, easy method to share the gospel. And there's also a phone number on there that people can call later. This is the same ministry that has worked with Billy Graham over the decades. And if they have questions about the gospel, they can call this number and receive information. It'll have in it also a Gospel of John that they can read. Also, the Jesus film, a DVD, a movie that has been used in evangelism, still being used in evangelism all around the world. There are some other videos on there, one even for children. And if they don't have a DVD player, you know, a lot of people today, they watch everything online. It has a link there they can go to and see the same videos on their computers without having to have a DVD. And your church may choose to put other things in that bag, but it'll be a bag that can be hung on that doorknob if no one's at home, or if they don't come to the door and let you in, and you can hang it there. And we want to put one of those bags on the doorknob of every single home in the entire state of Kentucky, 1.7 million plus homes. Now, you don't have that many here, thankfully. That'd be a daunting task. But however many there are, to not only place the gospel resources there, but to have a gospel conversation with the people in that home and just see what God is going to do. That's the strategy that they used here, the apostles and the early church. Did it work? You bet it did. In fact, let's just move on into chapter 6. And I want you to notice the salvations they saw multiplied. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number. Some versions have, again, that word multiplied. I mean, that goes straight from chapter 5, where they're going house to house to house, never ceasing to preach Christ is Jesus. And then in the very next chapter, it talks about the disciples multiplying. The salvations they saw multiplied. And I hope and pray we'll see the same results. I don't know how many. That's God's business. We're just to be faithful. Bring the gospel to every home. And then I want to end with one last point. The struggles they met. Now, if you're taking notes, you might be thinking, well, that was point number one, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. And now it's also point number 5. Look what happened immediately. A complaint there in verse 1 by the Hellenists, the Greeks, arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And you may know what happened there in chapter 6, but here is just the reality that the church has faced, will continue to face, that when we get busy sharing the gospel, bringing the gospel to the nations, we're going to have struggles. So it just comes right back again, doesn't it? But these struggles are not, you know, the end of it, not the end of us, thankfully. In fact, I think you can make a case that God has designed it in such a way so that the church reaches up to Him for help. And that's what they did here in chapter 6. And the result was deacons in the church to serve the church. So what looked like a negative thing and something that might blow everything apart turned out to be for the good of the church. And the church was healthy again, and they went on with sharing the gospel, and they met struggles, and God blessed and solved the struggles, and they went on to share the gospel, and they met with opposition, and it's over and over again. And I guarantee you that the more committed we are to getting the gospel to every home, the more of us who are committed to that, the more struggles we're going to face. The resistance we're going to face, because certainly Satan does not want us to do this. And he has inspired a culture that does not want us to do this. And so we will face opposition. But God is in it. And God will bless if we will only go. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, we are very grateful. Grateful for the opportunities like this in this country, the freedom to assemble here without any fear of a government coming to the door and disbanding us, or maybe even hauling us off to jail, or maybe even worse. We're thankful, Father, in this country that we have this freedom. And we do pray, Lord, that you would preserve it. We really do. We pray that the freedom of religion, the freedom to assemble, the freedom to worship, the freedom to evangelize would be preserved in our nation. We pray for that, Lord. But as we pray for it, we know, Lord, that there are no guarantees. We pray, but you may have other plans for us. Persecution may come. But Father, from our perspective, it doesn't change anything. Whether we are free as a church or whether we are under the persecution of a government, we will continue to take the gospel to every people, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, until Jesus comes. Father, help us, help this church, help Dallasburg Baptist Church to be bold in her faith, the people bold in their faith, to get the gospel to every single home. And we trust you, Lord, for the results. We trust you for the salvation of souls, so that all the glory belongs to you and not to us. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I perceive that right here in this room, there may be someone who needs Jesus, needs salvation. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and draw them unto yourself for salvation. And there may be those who are watching by Facebook who are not saved. And they're looking for answers. They're looking for hope. And I pray, Father, that as a result of their viewing this service this morning, they would come to faith in Jesus Christ. For your glory and for your kingdom, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I've been
Thank you so much, Brother Don, for being here with us. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful reminder for each and every one of us. Not just because we're doing an initiative right now with the Gospel to Every Home, but really as the Great Commission, every day we go out and we share that message. Just like our Sunday school hour this morning had mentioned, find opportunities every day to share the gospel, to have gospel conversations. They use the term windows of opportunities, right? Always be on the lookout for those opportunities. So thank you, Brother Don, for that. You guys can have a seat. Sorry, you can be seated. We are now super blessed. We have an opportunity, and I don't know if everyone is aware of this or not, but tomorrow, and then initially on the final launch date is Tuesday, Mason has decided to serve our nation in the Army. And so we're going to have a time of prayer this morning for Mason. What I also wanted to mention, due to some other restraints due to COVID, is that we also have a very valued member of Dallasburg Baptist Church serving in Korea right now, Noah Malcolm. And so if you've joined with us, absolutely. If you join with us on Wednesday nights, we've been praying for Noah. Crystal gives great updates on what is happening with Noah. Noah currently is in South Korea. And what we pray for Noah, and the same thing when I had a chance to meet with Mason, what we pray is that they can go out and be lights upon the world, that they can be shining examples with their brothers and sisters in arms as they can share the gospel to those individuals. And so what we're going to do now, we're going to have Mason come down with your extended family. They're all here. So happy to have them all here. You all come down. Simon's going to come down, and he's going to give us a little brief message and a prayer. Ford, this is where you all come down. Yes? And... Yeah. Hey, when you got a bunch of babies, it takes a little while. I understand. And then, hey, come on up here so people at home can see you. Go right over there. People at home, right?
We are home, aren't we?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You got some scripture you're going to read, Peter?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come here, Holland. I'm going to start by saying it's hard to believe that this boy here has grown up enough to go, because anytime I think of Mason Roberts, JT can probably remember this, but there was this little boy that used to come to church all the time, and he was always excited because he would say, with this accent, too. Hey, JT. Hey, Simon. I got my boots on. And anytime I think of Mason, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And he's not that little anymore. But I'm going to read just a little bit of scripture, Mason. Something to remember. This comes from Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, about the whole armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you know, this comes as a reminder, Mason. It starts with where our strength comes from, and that we do not merely fight physical battles. Our biggest battles are the spiritual ones that we fight, and we will need the whole armor of God for those. So now I'm going to ask that anybody that wants to come and stand close to the family, stand close to Mason, to come pray with him, and I will pray us out.
Jesus, think about hanging on the lines.
this year. This is how I like to get up there, works really high, like a billy goat. He's half billy goat.
Well, scoot on in here.
Scoot on in here.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We're so thankful for Mason. We're thankful for his servant heart to serve your country, Lord. I just ask that you be with him as he goes into a new sector of his life, Lord. I'm sure there's going to be some scary times, some new experiences, Lord. I just ask that you be with him, and he always has that constant reminder to look to you. As JT said earlier, run to you in times, especially in times that we're scared, Lord. Just be with him. Give him a peace and a comfort that you're with him always in everything that he does, no matter where he's at, Lord. Be with Ford and Renee and Gracie and the rest of the family, Lord. Give them a sense of peace and comfort as you have your protected hand upon him in his life, Lord. Just remind him that about the armor, Lord, that he is going into a dark world, and I just pray that he is a light in that dark world. And just be with him, and may everything that he says and do bring glory and honor to you. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.